Morning. Today's daf is Lamed in Avodah Zarah. We are starting today on Chav Tes Amud Beis. We just touched on the Mishnah yesterday. Let's go back. The Mishnah is going to talk about those things which are manufactured by a guy in Asur Ba'ana. Not only Asur Ba'achila, but also Asur Ba'ana. We'll be learning later in this Masechta and Daf Lamed Hey. There are those things that are manufactured by a goy that are asur ba'achila. So Bishul Akum, of course, being one of the more popular examples, that's going to be mentioned in the Mishnah over there in Lamed Hey. And the reason why the Chachamim made a gzera on food that's cooked by a goy is because of benosayim, because of chasnus, because of intermarriage, a concern of intermarriage. So that's coming up later on. Over here, we're going to be talking about yain. We're going to be talking about wine, and that will be the topic of discussion over the course of this week in the daf. A wine that is produced by a guy, so the Chachamim asked it, and they asked it not only v'shtiyah, you're not allowed to drink the wine, but also b'hana as well, you're not allowed to get benefit from that wine. So the Mishnah told us yesterday, I'm just going to go back to the Mishnah, I'm going to start from the Mishnah. So not only are the Chachamim asking these items that are produced by a guy, but also the Tzatzah b'hana, and that is yayin, chamish olav d'chavish ayam itchlasa yayin. So the first two items in the Mishnah is basically wine and wine. Now the first item is obviously wine. What's the second item? It was vinegar, but it was vinegar that started off as wine, meaning they produce wine, they manufacture wine. And then as wine goes, that's the nature of wine is that it sours and it becomes vinegar. So then the wine becomes vinegar. The Gemara is going to ask an interesting question. We're going to get to the Gemara obviously in just a little bit. The Gemara is going to wonder, well, if it was started off as wine, so it's asur ba'ana, so just because it sours and becomes vinegar now, what do you think the isur went? The isur is still there. So the Gemara is going to ask a question, meaning the Mishnah seems to be telling us something which is pashut. And so when we get to the Gemara, we will address that question. I mentioned this yesterday also, but this is just basic, it's Yisodos. And that is, why did the Chachamim make it Asur Ba'ana? Meaning that not only is it Asur Ba'achil, but Asur Ba'ana as well. Why? So I showed you the Rashi yesterday, so Rashi in the Mishnah. I'm going to read the Rashi again. The time of the Asur Ba'ana, Mishum did Dilma Naschehu. So Rashi points out over here that if it is that we're worried that they're going to take it and they're going to use it as part of their avodah zara, meaning that right like we take wine and we put it on our mizbeach, so lahavdil, so they take their wine and they put it on their mizbeach as well. So yayin nesach is part of the avodah zara ceremony. So it's what's called in halacha now takrovis avodah zara. It's offered as part of the avodah zara, and so therefore anything which is part and parcel of the avodah zara process is also not only ba'achil ba'ana as well. We're not talking about something that was used for avodah zara. We're talking about something that has only a concern. We're worried that they're going to use it for avodah zara, but still because of this concern, so therefore they asked it both in shtia and in hana as well. Okay, that Rashi obviously is very important. I mean, in other words, we'll see in the course of the Gemara, what if it's something that no longer is subject to this concern? So Rashi already on the top points out vinegar, meaning let's say we make the vinegar and we give it to them and they handle the vinegar. Is that going to now ask for the vinegar? Ostensibly, no. Because it's only when they handle something that could be used as yayin nesach, then and only then is it going to be usur. But once you're handing them something that can no longer be used as nesach, as part of the libation, so then it should be fine. Ostensibly, I mean, Rashi says it very clearly, right? Chometz lo menasech, that they don't put vinegar on their for the purposes of their idolatry. So that's what would seem to come out over here. Stay tuned, as that will become a major theme of today's daf. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Mishnah lists a number of things that are subject to this issue. The Mishnah then goes on to discuss Cheres Hadriani. Cheres Hadriani, Hadrian Cheres, there was a type of earthenware where this earthenware basically, it was absorbed. It was basically wine concentrate, right? It's very smart. And then basically it's dehydrated wine that was absorbed into some sort of earthenware, a very porous earthenware. And then what they did is they take it and they drop it now into water, and now they hydrate it and it turns now into wine. So obviously, this is still wine. It's wine of an akum. Aris levuvim. And the Mishnah now goes on to describe other things that are also asur ba'ana, and now hides that are levuvim. What does this mean? Rashi over here points out that there used to be a practice back then where they would, when they would offer this animal for their avodah zarah, they would, while the animal was alive, they would cut a circular hole in the chest of the animal, right opposite where the heart is. They would then reach in, grab the heart, rip the heart out. While the animal was alive, obviously, once you rip the heart out, so then animal's not alive anymore. It's there. But in other words, this was a practice back then. And obviously, that means then that this animal was serving as takrovis avodah zarah. Therefore, the animal in total, including the hide, is going to be Asar Bahana. So it made it in our list in this Mishnah of something which is Asar Bahana. Shimon Gamliel Omer Bizman Shehakra Shelo Agul Asar Mashuch Mutar. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says you have to look carefully at the cut of the hide. If the cut in the hide is a circular cut, so they went through this practice and rite that I just described. If, however, the cut in the hide was a slit, so then you don't have to be worried. This is not going to be a concern that they use this for this practice. If I have meat that goes into the Avodas Kochavim, what does it mean it goes into? So in other words, they were bringing it in. They were bringing it inbound to the Avodah Zarah. So then it would be, so the meat going inbound would be mutter. However, hayotze aser, mibneishu kiziv chemesim. Divrei Rabbi Kiva. Could, not sure. We're talking about Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is a concern over here. So in other words, if they're headed inbound, so then it would be mutter. But if once it comes out, it's not, because it's like zivchei mesim, divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now mind you, if in other words it was in the Avodah Zarah, in the house of the Avodah Zarah, and it comes out of the Avodah Zarah, so was it offered to the Avodah Zarah? Well, it's a little bit strange, because if it was offered to the Avodah Zarah, what is it doing coming out? But in other words, but still there is a chance it was offered for the Avodah Zarah, and that's why the Mishnah could be using the words kizdiv chemesim. Meaning, what does it mean, kizdiv chemesim? Right? Say, if it was offered for the Avodah Zarah, it is ziv chemesim. So in other words, maybe it's just simply a concern, and therefore it's kizdiv chemesim. But either way, it's aser, and aser ba'ana. Ha'ochen la'tarfus aser la'seis v'la'seisim ma'am. Anyone who's going to Tarfus over here, basically a pagan festival. Now, this really belongs in the first parak, this line of the Mishnah, meaning that's where we discussed all those, excuse me, all those movements. But still, if they're going to the Avodah Zarah, so then you can't conduct business with them. You can't conduct business with them. So Rashi over here points out there are two reasons why. One, as we already discussed, in other words, if they got themselves a great deal, so then they're going to go to the Avodah Zarah Azul Moda, and they're going to thank their God, and you're going to be in violation of Lo Yishama Alpicha, like we discussed in the first parak of the Masechta. Also, Rashi points out that if you sell them a good animal, they're going to offer the animal for Avodah Zarah, and you'll be in violation of Lifnei Iver. In either event, while they're going to the festival, you can't sell them anything. However, Habayim, but if they're coming back from the Avodah Zarah, so then you would be allowed to do business with them. No does of the kochavim v'kankaneim v'yayin shel Yisrael kenos b'hem asurin v'yisurin isurana divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, now, moving on in the Mishnah, now we're talking about kankaneim. We're talking about their thermoses, their jugs. So let's say it's their jug, right, and let's say it's porous, and we store our wine in it. So it's going to be, after some period of time, there's going to be an absorption of the taste that was contained in their pots into our wine. So this is based on the principle of kavush kemavushel, that when I have something just sitting and marinating, so eventually there will be a blend of flavors and a blend of tastes. So according to Reb Meir, if that's in fact the case, so then the wine, our wine, that's been sitting in their jug, is not going to be aser, but it's going to be aser bana. Divrei Meir v'chachamim omrim, ein isurim iser hana. And the chachamim say like this, look, it's for sure going to be aser. Meaning they have the tam of their wine that has now infused into our wine that's been stored in those jugs. But it's not going to be aser bahana. Why not? Because the iser hana is only on their yayin mamish. Meaning you need actually substantial wine. We know, as the Gemara tells us a number of places, the tam ke'ikar, that even if all I have is the flavor of something, the taste of something, so that will have the same properties as the item itself. That's true. However, over here, we're talking not about the Isser Achila. In other words, for sure it's going to be Asr Ba'achila. We're talking about the additional Isser Hana'ah. So for the additional Isser Hana'ah, so what the Chachamim are saying is that if it's just Tom, if it's just the taste of the wine, but it's not the actual wine itself, it only will be Asr Ba'achila, but it will not be Asr Ba'hana'ah. Similar discussion regarding the pits and the skins of the grapes of Goyim. So a serum v'isur isur hana. Divrei Rav Meir. So according to Rav Meir, they're going to be asur hana. V'chachamim omrim lachim asurim yaveshim mutarim. So, and the chachamim say no. If the skins in the pits were moist and they had actual liquid on them, in them, so then any chanam, then you'd be right. But if the yaveshim were, once they're fully dried out, so they'd be mutarim, so then they would be permitted. L'chora mutar over here means mutar even b'achila. But we're talking about dried skins and dried pits that have no moisture left in them. I don't imagine we're actually going to consume them. Okay, but still, that's what it seems like from the Mishnah. Hamuryas. Mishnah goes on to describe now moryas, right? Some sort of fish brine. And ugvinas base unaiki. And cheese. Shall ovde kochavim asurim visurim misur hana divrei meir. So according to Rav Meir, not only are they going to be asur b'achila, but they're also going to be asur b'hana as well. Rashi points out that generally speaking, with these foods, with the fish brine, it generally has a mixture of wine that's mixed in together with the fish brine. Therefore, Rashi points out, it's going to be asur, not only b'achila, but b'hana as well. Cheese, according to Rav Meir, also is going to be asur b'hana.
There's no concept of biddle in this?
There could be, sure.
I
mean, right now the Mishnah is just getting us to the basic points. Uh-huh. Which is that the wine, even as part of a mixture, even if it's not just wine in of itself, it's going to be asr. V'chachamim armim ein isur nisur hana. Now, chachamim say, yes, they're going to be asr, but not b'hana, only b'achila. Okay, so on the cheese front, the Gemara now discusses. Am Rav Yudah shal Rabbi Shmuel, it's Rabbi Yehoshua, k'shal yimahachim b'derech. So Rav Yehuda tells the following story. There was a walk that took place, that occurred. Rabbi Shmuel was walking alongside Rabbi Yehoshua, and Amr lo, And Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehoshua, "Minei ma'asur gvinas avdi kochavim, cheese of an ovi kochavim. I don't know why it's usher. Meaning, what about it would make it usher? I'm a lo mimnei shemamidim masav bekevash anavela. So he says, "Well, I'll tell you why. In other words, in order for a cheese to become cheese, so it needs to be you need a catalyst. You need something to cause the fermentation of the milk to curdle and to turn into cheese. So what's an excellent enzyme? So in other words, what you do is you go into the cave of the fourth stomach of the animal. We're talking about ruminating animals. As we discussed just yesterday already, the ruminating animal has four stomachs. The fourth stomach is what's called the cava. That is, you know, to you and I, our single stomach entities. So basically it's the stomach, right? The first three stomachs of the animal are basically there for the process of further breaking down of the grass, right? The first stomach, in fact, is the rumen and the food goes into the rumen, then comes back into the mouth, and goes back into the rumen, and back and forth until it's fully chewed up, and then it goes through another two stomachs, and then it gets into the fourth stomach. So fourth stomach basically is now where you have it. It is totally not totally, but it's broken down, and now in this fourth stomach. So what do they do? So you have now this wonderful juice in the fourth stomach. It's hard to describe it. It must be pretty nasty, but it's got a lot of wonderful enzymes. So what they would do is they would take this liquid that's found in the fourth stomach, and they would throw it into the milk, and the milk would curdle, and it would facilitate that milk into becoming cheese. Wonderful. So the Gemara points out, so I'll tell you what the problem is. The problem is that they take that little liquid and express from the fourth stomach of the animal, and their animals, of course, their shechted animals were not shechted. In other words, it's a nevela. So that means now that this discharge of the fourth stomach that they throw into the milk is obviously nevela itself, and as a result of that, it would be usur. That's the answer that he gave.
If it's liquid and not, if it's an enzymatic liquid, yeah, and it's not meat, why would that be considered?
So stay tuned. Your question is excellent, and your question is coming up. Amalov alo kevas ola chamur mi kevas nevela. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's consider now the following. The keva of an ola. So we're talking about a carbonola. Carbonola is totally burnt on the mizbeach. And obviously, being that it is burnt on the mizbech in totality, that means that you and I are not allowed to eat it. In fact, if you and I were to eat it, even if Kohanim were to eat it, they'd be in violation of the Isser of Me'ilah. It's not ours. It belongs to the mizbech. Fine. And Amru, and they said the following regarding the contents of the keva of a carbon ola. Kohen shedato ein yafe. If let's say you have a Kohen who's dato yafe, the Gemara here is using a phrase, an idiomatic phrase. Literally means he has a clean mind, but it basically means he's not squeamish. He could tolerate things really well. And sarfa chaya. So what he can do is, he could take the fourth stomach of the carbonola, and he could drink the contents of it. Okay, why in the world would this kohen want to do that? I have no earthly idea. The point is that it's not considered part and parcel of the animal. It's what we would call in halacha just perish ba'alma. It's just simply a discharge of the animal, but it's not considered the animal itself. And v'lo hodulo. Now the chachamim don't agree with this position that a non-squeamish kohen can drink the discharge of the keva of an animal, of a carbonola. So they said you shouldn't get benefit from it. However, they will admit that there is no fundamental Isra Me'ila. So in other words, even though as a chumra they say they shouldn't drink it, but they do agree that there is no Isra Me'ila. So let's pause over here for just a moment. What have we just learned together? That the contents of that keva are not considered part and parcel of the animal. That's what we just learned together. And so what is it? It's perish ba'alma. It's a discharge, but it's not considered the animal. So now, what was answer number one to why is the cheese of a goy aser? So answer number one is because it's not kosher, because they introduced non-kosher items. The Gemara's question now is, it's not really not kosher. It's a kosher, meaning it's not part of the nevela. And that liquid that's expressed from that fourth stomach is just perish ba'alma. It's a discharge of the animal, but it's not considered part and parcel of the animal. So basically, what have we done to our first response to the question? It seems like we rejected it. So now here we are now in round two, answer number two. Answer number two to the question is that, look, they take an animal that is destined to become avodah zarah, and there, by design, they fatten the animal up. Here, when you have an animal that's avodah zarah, every part of the animal is now going to be aser. Even the perish ba'alma, even the part that's considered quote-unquote discharge. Why? Because they want the animal to be large. The larger the animal, the better it is for the avodah zarah. And so therefore, when it's deemed avodah zarah, every bit of the animal now is considered tekrovis avodah zarah. And so now when they take that discharge from the fourth stomach of such animal, and they use it to make the cheese, then you're basically introducing iser into the cheese in order to make it cheese. I'm alone in Cain. Lama, let me finish up. Amar lo im kein, lama lo asura ba'ana. So if that's true, so now you're telling me that what is there as the catalyst to make the cheese cheese? You're telling me basically it's avodah zarah. So if it's avodah zarah, not only should it be asura ba'achil, it should also be asura ba'ana as well. Now it happens to be that that's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that cheese is asura ba'ana. So that's a wonderful explanation if you subscribe to the opinion of Rav Meir. But as we already seen, Rav Meir is a Shitas Yachid. The Das Rabim, the majority opinion in the Mishnah, is that it's only Asur Ba'achil and not Ba'ana. But now, if your explanation is predicated on the fact of, well, they're using Takrovis Avodah Zarah as the enzyme, causing it to turn into cheese, so then it should be Asur Ba'ana. He sealed a davar achir. So now, basically, let's change the topic of conversation. Basically, now what comes out from this Mishnah is that, look, you asked me the question, I gave you two answers, you didn't like either of the answers. Look, the bottom line is that the Chachamim asked the cheese of a guy. There are reasons. I'm not going to reveal all the reasons to you, but you know what? Let's continue the conversation. We'll just move in, we'll change into different topics. And now what do they talk about? That's a little bit of a gadata. I'm low. Cheese. Oh, okay, hold on. We still got a ways to go before we talk about the cheese. So Amar lo Yishmal hechata kore kitovim dodecha miayin o kitovim dodayach. So in other words, when you read the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, so is it kitovim dodecha or kitovim dodayach? And the question basically, as Rashi explains over here, is it red b'lashon zachar or lashon akeva? Now, if it's red as Lashon Nekeva, so it's a reference to Knesset Yisrael. So, and if it's Lashon Zachar, so it's referencing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, Amar lo Kitovim Dodech. So, the response is that it should be read in, it should be read by Lashon Nekeva. So, Amar lo, Eina Davar Kein. Sharei Chaver Malamid Alav, L'Reich Shmanecha Tovim. So he says, no, because if you read on the Pasuk, you'll see that it's in Lashon Zachar. So since that part is in Lashon Zachar, so then also the Dodecha should be in Lashon Zachar as well. So basically, they turn into a discussion of the pesukim shir shirim. Is it a in other words, a particular pasuk reference to Kadosh Baruch Hu, reference to Knesset Yisrael? Meaning, let's move on topics. Let's not discuss this cheese anymore. In the Gemara later on, the Gemara will discuss. We're not going to do this today, but the Gemara later on will discuss exactly what is the reason why cheese is usur. What is the reason why they change subjects? So this strange dialogue in the Mishnah is going to be discussed later on. In the meantime, however, we go to the first point of the Mishnah, and for the rest of the day today, we're going to be discussing wine. And wine is going to, all right, wine and cheese, that's our topic for discussion today. So, but our discussion is going to surround wine, and the Gemara discusses now as follows. Yayin minalan. How do I know that wine is usur? Now, what is the Gemara's question? So I already mentioned this Tosfos yesterday, but let's repeat this Tosfos again. Meaning the Gemara is asking the question of wine manufactured by a guy is usur, and the Gemara is asking, how do I know this? What is the Gemara asking? Tema. Top Tosfos on the Amud. Maika by minalan. What is the Gemara asking minalan? Ha masnisa mari bistam yena. You see, our Mishnah is not talking about wine that was actually used as libation. That's not the point of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about stam yena, that wine that was manufactured by a guy. So, v'gzera derabbanu shigazol yena mishum enoseim. And Tosfos says, and we know, meaning a good part of these gzeras that were enacted by the rabbis was in order to prevent intermarriage. Meaning that's the fundamental concern of the Chachamim vis-a-vis foods, various foods that are manufactured by Goyim. And so that's really the basis of these Isurim. Miu continues Tosfos. Lo hayu asur nosa ba'anam mitam zem mididahave apitam shmanam. El avdu rabbanan. Ki yayin nesach chamor shenisnasnech lefnei avodis kochavim. She'asur min ha-Torah mishum dedami lei. Va'yayin nesach shoel ataman minalan. But Tosfos goes on to explain. But look, if the issue was just simply intermarriage, so then it would have only been asur ba'achila, not asur ba'hana. What the Gemara is asking over here is as follows. The Chachamim did something interesting when it comes to Stam Yenam. Stam Yenam, even though the real reason why the Chachamim asked it is because of intermarriage, but on top of that, there was a secondary concern. Secondary concern is that they use their wine as part of their idolatrous practice. And for reasons of that, we know that if the wine was actually used for idolatrous practices, it would be usur, not only ba'achila ba'ahana as well, and because of the secondary concern, so therefore the Chachamim slapped on the Stam Yenam a secondary level of isur, where it's not only usur ba'achila, but it's also usur ba'ahana as well. And Tosfos is now pointing out, so what the Gemara is asking is, where do we see that wine offered as libation for idolatry, where do we know that that's usur ba'ahana? That, says Tosfos, is the Gemara's question. Yayin minalan. Back to the Gemara, Amar Rava Baravu, Amar Kra, Asher Chelev, Zvechemo, Yochlu, Yishtu, Yayin, Nesecham. So the Pasuk in the end of Sefer Dvarim describes that basically they use wine as part of their libation to the Avodah Zarah. Mazevach Asar Bana, Af Yayin Nesech Asar Bana. Now, a carbon that is offered for idolatry is Asar Bana, so too is the wine, meaning in the Pasuk you have what's called the Hekish. It's in that same Pasuk you have wine and the meat. Meat is Asar Bana, wine is as well. Zevach gufe minalan. But here we go now. We're going to have to connect a couple of dots. How do I know that the meat offered for Avodah Zarah is asur ba'ahana? Dichsiv. Vayitzmadu l'baal peor v'yochlu zivche mesim. So we have another pasuk connecting animals offered for idolatry and the Navi, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, describing it as zivche mesim. It's like sacrifices for the dead. Ma meis asur ba'ahana, av zevach nami asur ba'ahana. So now we have a secondary hekesh. And this hekesh connects something offered, a meat offered as a avodah zarah, an animal offered as a avodah zarah, to that of a mace. Here we go. Next step over here. Mace gufi minalan. How do I know that a dead body is asur bana? Asya sham shami egla rufa. Ksiv hacha v'tamash sham miryam. Uksiv hasam v'arfu sham esa egla benachal. Mala alam ba'asur bana afka nami asur bana. So just like the Egla Rufa is asur bana, and we have a Gzeres Shava connecting Egla Rufa to the death of Miriam, so too, Miriam, and that, for that matter, any body, right, two words, is going to be asur bana. V'hasa minalan. Now, how do I know that the Egla Rufa is asur bana? So here's now our fourth dot in this connect the dots. So debe Rabbi Yanai, kapar ksiv be kikachim. When the Torah describes the the Egla Rufa, the Torah uses the word kapara as if to say this is a carbon. We know carbon is asa ba'ana, so therefore the Egla Rufa is asa ba'ana. Now connected through Gzera Shava to Miriam and the death of Miriam. So her body, her remains are asa ba'ana. Connecting it to Avodah Zarah, I'm just going backwards now. Connecting it to Avodah Zarah, that's going to be asa ba'ana, meaning the animals offered for Avodah Zarah is going to be asa ba'ana. The Pasuk now connecting it to wine, the wine too is also going to be asa ba'ana. Okay, chamish of the kochav mishayu mitchlas or yaim shita. Mishum the achmin's pakele yisurei. The Gemara star opens up now the questioning regarding vinegar, meaning they manufactured wine. Obviously, they handle the wine. So now the wine is not only asur b'achil but asur b'ana as well. And then the wine now becomes sour and becomes and turns into vinegar. And the Gemara says, and the Mishnah has to now teach us that too is asur b'ana. And the Gemara says, I don't understand. Just because it turns into vinegar, pakele yisurei. So the issur goes away. Now it's interesting because you could have made an argument. Yeah, yes, it goes away. Meaning, shinui. In other words, it's a new item. It's not the same item as it was before. And the Gemara doesn't give that answer. Sounds like from the Gemara does not feel that the change from wine to vinegar, although it is a substantial change, right? It's you know, in other words, as we're going to see in just a moment, they're not going to use it anymore as yain nesach. It's got a whole new flavor. It's got a whole new taste. But it sounds like from the Gemara that it's not substantial enough a change where the Gemara can just simply say, Panim Chadash is Balakan.
But the problem was that he might have designated it for Yain Nesach.
Okay, but right. he didn't use it though for Yain Nesach.
He didn't, but it became also with the designation.
I don't know I don't know if that's true. If you're right, so then it's
a
good point.
That's why it's Shikshik is also, if Meloy Shikshik, there is a Terem.
I mean, the Gemara is going to talk about Shikshik later on.
But that's what it is. You're worried that when he picked up the wine, when he moved the wine, he designated that he's going to be Manasseh. They actually did.
Right. No, right. I understand that.
But once he touches it, he says that it's for Avodah Zarah. Where did it go?
Okay. Again, the Gemara is asking that question. I'm just simply pointing out that if it's vinegar, and vinegar is a new item, so then you could just simply say shinui. The Gemara is not saying that. Obviously, the change is not that dramatic. So Amar Rav Ashi ha'asal hashmin nechomish shalana bi'arov v'kochavim ein tzarech chosem b'so chosem. So the Gemara over here tells us as follows. Now, in order to appreciate this Gemara, the Gemara kind of expects us to know. When, let's say, I produce wine. Okay, I'm not going to, but if I produce wine. And now I want to ship it to somebody else. And now if I ship it to somebody else, And I hand it over to a guy for him to handle it. So basically, he's going to be handling my wine. So now, does that become stam yenam because he handled it? So the halacha is, which we haven't really seen yet, but Gemara kind of assumes that we know this. So that if I seal it, and not just seal it, but double seal it, so that will become now safeguarding the fact that he didn't actually handle the wine itself. And when I say handle the wine, I mean come into physical contact with the actual wine itself. The fact that he's handling the bottle, that's fine. Meaning the concern is that he's actually touching the wine itself, physically touching the wine. So if I put a double seal on, so that will ensure, that will create enough of an insurance that he has not touched the wine, and therefore the wine is good. So as a wine, and consider every time we go to the store. So basically what happens is that that bottle of wine has been handled by Goyim, and obviously the wine is fine. Now, it happens to be that there's another issue, another consideration, which is coming up in today's daf, and that's Yain Mevushel. What if it's cooked? But we don't know that yet, at least in the Gemara. So in other words, we're just now describing how, if wine gets shipped and handled by a guy, if he's not touching the wine itself, he's just touching the bottle, whatever it's being transported in, that's fine. A double seal is what you need for insurance. However, what the Gemara now is pointing out is that that's true if it's wine. But let's say it's vinegar. So if it's vinegar and it's being transported, you don't need a double seal. A single seal would be enough. The Gemara says that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. You don't need the double seal. At the point of vinegar, they're not going to make it. They're not going to use this yain nesach. And imishum ichlufe kevin dichachosam lo taruch mezayif. Aye. What about the fact that they may switch it with some other vinegar, their own vinegar? If there's one seal on it, it's not going to pay for them to go through the process of having to remove the seal, take out the vinegar, transplant it with other vinegar that's inferior, put the seal back on. It's not worth it for them, just for a seal. Amar Rabbi Elisha, Ninu Yayin Mevushel Shel Avdei Kochav Shehayim Mitchlas Yayin Aser. So the Gemara now tells us another halacha, another chiddush. Let's say it's Yayin Mevushel. Let's say it's cooked wine. So then, if it was of a guy, which was originally wine, asr. In other words, when I say originally wine, meaning originally uncooked. Now, of course, it was originally uncooked, meaning the production of wine simply is that you squeeze a grape, you squeeze the grapes, you express out the juice, and you let it ferment. And so, obviously, it started off as uncooked. The point that's being made over here is that once it's cooked, so it's still going to be asr. Now, the Gemara again says, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Mishum di ifshal pakale yisurei. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Just because it was cooked, the isr goes away. So Amar Rav Ashi, asr lashmini, yam mevusha shalani, biarov kechavim, mitzar chosim, beso chosim. So the Gemara says, here comes our second point of the day, and that is yain mevushal. If it's cooked wine that we produced, so that means to say that we manufactured the original wine, obviously it was originally uncooked, then it went through a cooking process, and now it's being transported and handled by a guy, one seal is all you need, you don't need a double seal. So, imishum in tzuch lomenaschei. And it says the Gemara number one, it is not going to be used as libation. Meaning the goyim, once the wine is cooked, the akum no longer use that wine for avodah zarah. And even imishum achlufes, we turn now to the top of lamed amud aleph, and if we're worried about it switching, so kevin deika chosam echal otarchum mezayif, again, it's not worth it for them to swap out one cooked wine for another cooked wine if they have to go through a seal. Okay, so what did we just learn together? That vinegar is not used for yayin nesach, and cooked wine is not used for yayin nesach. As a result of that, what the Gemara is saying very clearly is that if we are the ones producing the vinegar, meaning if they produce the vinegar, so it's asr, and it's asr bahana, because again, it started off as wine. So the wine is asr bahana, and just because it's sour, the asr doesn't go away. And if they cook the wine, so then it's asr, because again, if they, the ones who started manufacturing the wine, so it's asr bahana, just because it's cooked, the asr doesn't go away. But let's go the other direction. Let's say we prepare the wine, we produce the wine, and then either becomes vinegar or it's cooked. So now what we're learning together is that if it is given to them, if it's handled by them, so then they're not going to be using it for yayin nesach, and therefore ostensibly it would be fine, right? And hence you from here, from this Gemara, you have the heter of what's called yayin mevushal, meaning that is if we manufacture, if we produce the wine and we cook it, so then, since they're not concerned that it's they're going to then turn around and use it as yayin nesach, so then it would be okay. Okay for what? Meaning, we're saying now that it's mutter. Does that mean it's mutter bahana uva achila? Or does it just simply mean it's mutter bahana? Okay. There are a couple of Rashis over here that seem to say that it is only mutter bahana, but not bahachila. Look, for example, at the Rashi on the bottom of Chav Tes Amud Beis. Ha'asel la'ishminan. Rashi writes, I'm just reading the Rashi inside, Taimed ha'avikochem bishlu. Ha bishlu Yisrael beheter, su lo mitzer behana'a. Rashi says that if we cook it and then it's handled by a guy, it's not going to be asr bahana. A careful reading of the Rashi would seem to indicate it's not going to be asr bahana, but it would be asr bahachila. In other words, we wouldn't be allowed to drink it. Rashi makes a similar comment on Lamed Amud Alpha as well, and that belies what we all know, which is that once it's yayin mevushal, so even if a goy were to touch it, it'd be mutter b'achila. I mean, we'd still be allowed to drink it. In fact, that's, you know, the terim is that you have yayin mevushal, could be handled by a goy, could be poured by a goy, right? They can actually physically touch it, and it should be fine. But if you read the Rashi carefully, especially the Rashi that I just quoted over here, doesn't seem that way from Rashi. That engenders a lot of discussion. I'm simply pointing out that the Rashi does write that it's seemingly still going to be asr b'achila, even if as yayin mevushal. Okay. That's an assumption. In other words, with everything there are given assumptions. Over here, it's a given assumption that he won't use it for yayin nesach. Okay. I wish I could answer it better, but in other words, it's a given assumption of the Gemara. Seemingly the answer is no. I do have a recollection of a Gemara that says that he can't. Somehow I feel like in Zvachim and Menachos, when we come around, God willing, in another cycle of it, there's going to be Gemara discussing that straight out. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I do have somewhere in the recesses that it would also be possible for our Nesachim. Okay, back to our Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. We are now on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph Yayin Mevushal Va'alun Tishov De Kochavim Asurim. So if I have wine that was cooked by a goy or aluntis, I'll describe it better in just a moment. So it's some sort of potion. In fact, Rashi uses the word potion, right? It was some beverage that they had. So it's aser. However, the brisa then continues, aluntis kibriasa muteris. So, but if it's aluntis kibriasa, so then it would be muteris. Rashi over here writes, aluntis kibriasa. Rashi, second line down. We're the manufacturers. If we're the manufacturers, and then we hand it over to them, so then it would be muteris. Rashi then writes, muteris, behana'a, the sula menasech lehu. So it would be muteris behana'a, because they're not going to be using it as yayin nesach. So that needs an explanation. Why not? So ve'ezu aluntis, let's go back to the Gemara, gabi shabbos, osin anum lemeno sin aluntis. So we turn to a Mishnah on Shabbos. The Mishnah on Shabbos says that we can't make a numlin on Shabbos. I'm sorry. We can make a numlin on Shabbos, but you can't make a luntis. Ve'ezu hi a numlin, ve'ezu a luntis. A numlin yainu dvashu pilpulin. So a numlin is just a simple mixture of wine, honey, and peppers. A luntis yain yashan maim sulin va'farsamon da'avde labay mesusa. It's a kind of beverage. It's a kind of potion that's drunk, but it's drunk really for medicinal purposes. Meaning, you went to the shvitz, you went to the bathhouse, and your body's totally heated up, and now you want your body to cool down. So this was a beverage that was drunk, that basically it was a cool down beverage. It wasn't drunk for as the drink per se, but it was drunk for its medicinal purposes. The Gemara now is saying basically that once you have a luntis, since it's not normally drunk as a regular beverage, so therefore the akum are not going to be using as yayin nesach, and therefore it would be the brisa says muteris. Again, I showed you the Rashi, but I'm going to show it to you again. Look at the Rashi over here, fourth line down, muteris. Rashi writes behana. One would allow to be get benefit from it. Again, what it sounds like from Rashi, however, is that it's still going to be aser ba'achila. Okay. And this Gemara over here then engenders another, with the Rashi, engenders another very important discussion. And that is, what if the grape is part of the ingredients of an item? So in other words, no longer are we talking about just simply wine by itself, but we're talking about a food that has grape mixture in it. What it sounds like from our Gemara is that it's fine. However, you read the Rashi says, what does that mean, fine? Meaning it's mutar bahana. But it sounds like from Rashi, it's aser ba'achila. And so, again, another really important discussion in Kashrus, and that is, what if a byproduct of grape is used as part of the ingredients of something else? Is that going to be aser? Okay, a really important discussion. And again, it starts with a Gemara here, and a Rashi that I just cited. And if you want more discussion on this, by the way, the first Tosfos on the Amud also discusses the halacha of what happens if grapes that they handled or grape product that they handle goes into a food. See Tosfos for more on that discussion. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Rav Yosef Darmi Tavan Yayim Mazugim B'Mishum Giloi. Okay, now we're going to be talking about wine for the remainder of today, but we're going to be talking about it from a slightly different perspective, a different aspect, and that's the Isser of Giloi. Okay, it's something that's hard for us to relate. We don't have that many snakes around us nowadays. And B, even when there are snakes around us, you don't see them basically being tempted by our wine. Okay, just as a part of a reality that they dealt with back in the time of the Gemara, that will really help us understand the Gemara, their snakes love their wine. Okay, I don't know how to say it any better. I don't know how to express it any better. Loved it. Their snakes love their wine. And also their water as well. And so anytime now you have wine or water that was exposed and left unattended, so there's a serious concern they had back then, which is that the snake is going to drink from the wine. While drinking from the wine, inject a little bit of venom into the wine, or drink water and inject a little bit of water into the a little venom into the water. And so therefore, for you and I to drink the wine or water, it's not aser, but it's aser. Meaning, it's not iser min haTorah, meaning the venom of a snake, I know earlier this morning we talked about the liquid that's contained in the fourth stomach of the animal, the keva. But over here, I don't think the venom is aser per se, but it's aser because it's a sakana. I know. I'm that's what I'm thinking out loud. I told you it's always a mistake. It's always a mistake when I think out loud. But anyway, right.
Yesterday we said that the venom is not poisonous if it's ingested in
Okay. The simple point I'm trying to make, and I'll say it succinctly, it's a kana, meaning that the issue is that iser may not be the issue, but the issue, of course, is that it's a danger. If I drink venom, so the chances are is that it'll cause death. So therefore, what the Chachamim were super concerned with in the time of the Gemara is that any time that I have a liquid that's left exposed and unattended, so now there may be venom inside of it, and therefore drinking it would pose a sakana. And the Torah says is that we have to take care of ourselves, and we can't put ourselves in any kind of life-threatening scenario. So therefore, the Chachamim said, any wine or water that's exposed, don't drink it. That's the Isser of what's called Gilui. Okay? Again, I say Isser, it's really Sakanta. In fact, the Gemara is going to use that language in just a moment. With that stated, so let's now go back to the Gemara. Rabbi Rav Yosef Damar Tavai, Yai Mazog, Emba Mishum Gilui. If the wine is diluted, so then the snakes are no longer interested, and therefore you don't have to worry about Gilui. Again, certain assumptions that they had back then, diluted wine was not a concern. Yain mevushal and mishum nisach. Now, if it's cooked wine, not subject to nisach, because they don't use it as libation. Okay, so given that there are two givens over here, the Gemara asks a simple question. What about cooked wine? Snakes interested in cooked wines? Tashma'id, Rav Yaakov Baridi, al yain mevushal, shein bo mishum gilui. So the Gemara says, the Gemara has a tradition, in the name of Rav Yaakov Baridi, not subject to gilui. Snakes are not interested in cooked wine. Rabbi Yana bar Yishma chalos al gabei Rabbi Yishma ben Zirud v'Rabban l'shaluye bei. So one of the rabbis were sick, visited by others. Yasvi v'kami baylu yai mevushu yeshma mishum gilui ein ba mishum gilui. You see this question's getting kicked around a lot. Cooked wine subject to gilui? Yes or no? Amalu Rabbi Yishma ben Zirud hachiam Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish mishum gaver Rabba uman Rabbi Chia yai mevushu ein ba mishum gilui. So the Gemara has a tradition going all the way back to Rabbi Chia that is the snakes are not interested in the cooked wine. So Amalei Nismoch. So he said, okay, good. I'm glad you have such a tradition. Do we rely on such a tradition? Machvila Rabbi Yana Bar Shmuel Allah Val Tzavarai. So Rabbi Yana, who was the one who was sick at the time, so he basically pointed to his shoulders and said, yes, right, you can rely on this. Basically, on my shoulders. Shmuel Va'avlein HaVyasvo. Shmuel was sitting together with Avlate. Avlate was an idolater living at the time. Apparently him and Shmuel were friends. And Aisu Lekamayu Chamra Mevashla. Brought in front of them was cooked wine. Mashche Liyade. And Avlate, he knows the halacha. In other words, he can't handle the wine. If he touches the wine, Shmuel will no longer be able to drink it. And Shmuel will also not be able to get benefit from it as well. So Mashche Liyade. So Avlate, out of deference and respect for Shmuel, so he withdraws his hand, basically doesn't touch it. So Amalei Shmuel Harei Amar Yayin Mevushal Ein Bo Mishum Yayin Netzach. To which Shmuel says to Avlate, no, this is cooked wine, it's fine, go ahead. Now from this Gemara, it sounds like that Yayin Mevushal would be, if handled by a guy, would be mutter, not only Bahana, but also would be mutter b'shtiyah as well. That's what this Gemara sounds like. Well, I mean, you're saying socializing, you're giving a little bit of narrative, meaning we know that they were together. Why were they together? Maybe it was strictly business. Maybe it was political. Right. I'm a business. Okay. Amtei de Rabbi Chia iglai la igluy la hauchamra mevashla. The maidservant of Rabbi Chia left wine exposed. So they took it to Rabbi Chia, and Rabbi Chia says, look, it's cooked wine, snakes are not interested, not subject to the Isser of Gilui. The attendant of Rav Adar Bar Ava left diluted wine exposed. Now, we already established earlier that diluted wine also is not a problem. Snakes are not interested in diluted wine. So the Gemara, now we're getting into the nature of snakes. The Gemara now makes the argument. If it's diluted wine, where there's more water than wine, Rashi over here describes the ratio of being two parts water, one part wine. So if it's really diluted, the snakes are not interested. But if it's only mildly diluted, so then snakes are still interested. You're right. I know, right?
That's the normal wine that you leave on the
table. That's a normal dilution ratio. Right? Rashi says 2-1. Okay. Mazik v'lo mazik mishasi. So the Gemara says, but if it's just partially diluted, mildly diluted, so you tell me the snakes drink it. Rabba baravuna v'kaza ba'arva. Gemara tells the story of Rava on a boat. V'ava naki chamer ba'adei. And he had wine. And v'chazi alu chivye detzari v'ase. And a snake is coming. Snake smelling the wine. Snake knows now that there's wine. Again, one of the givens back in those days that the snakes loved the wine. So I'm l'shami sami eni didan. So he says to his attendant, you know what, take care of the wine so the snake is no longer interested into it. So shaki kalimaya shadabe v'star l'achare. So what the attendant did is he just poured a little bit of water into the wine and now rendered the wine no longer interesting to the snake. And the snake basically gave up on fighting for that wine. So achaya masar nafshay, mazigal masar nafshay. So the Gemara over here gives an answer. And the Gemara says, well, look, if the wine is really diluted, fully diluted, so the snake is not interested whatsoever. If it's partially diluted, like in the case of the boat that we just saw, snake is interested, but not really ready to fight for that wine. And if the wine is not diluted at all, snake is going to fight for the wine. The Gemara says, is that true? Rabbi Yana was in this place. V'amrele bar hedja. Okay, versions of where he was. Hava bay achbure haviyasva v'avikashasu chamra miziga. They were drinking diluted wine. Pashlu chamra bechuba v'tsaruna befarvanka v'chazi lo chivya d'shakamaya v'rama bekuva ad damala bekuva v'salik chamra ilave perunka v'shasi. So over here, I know the snake is going to come out looking really smart. But basically what the snake did is that right now the wine was too far down in the barrel for him to drink. There was a cloth tied on the top of the barrel, but it was just a cloth though. It wasn't like a hard cover. And what the snake did is the snake introduced more and more water into the barrel so that now the wine rose to the top. It rose over the cloth. And now the snake was able to drink the wine. And this obviously is diluted wine. Right. And heavily diluted wine. And the snake drank it. So Amre, yeah, I know. Because brilliant snake. So Amre, Damazik Iu Shasi, Damazik Achilo Shasi. So the Gemara now, again, more answers regarding the nature of snakes and their inclination and their interest in drinking wine. If they diluted themselves, they're interested. But if others dilute it, so then they're not interested. Amr Avashi Vitimar of Misharsha, Pirukala Sakanta. Eventually the Gemara now finally has had it, and the Gemara says, what are you doing? You're giving me Terutzim on, this is not Issa Veheter. This is not, we're not learning in the base medrash right now. I mean, we are, but in other words, we're talking now about Sakana. Pirukala Sakanta, you're giving me Terutzim on something which is life and death, meaning we're now wondering, are snakes going to insert the venom or not? And now think about the kinds of distinctions were made. Partially diluted, mostly diluted. The snake diluted it, somebody else diluted it. The Gemara says, we're talking about sakana. So, ama rava hilchasa. So finally, the Gemara concludes on this matter. Yain mazur yesh ba mishum. Gilui v'yesh ba mishum yain nesach. If it is diluted wine, subject to gilui. Now I know, up until now we've been saying, not subject to gilui, but obviously the Gemara over here is concluding. Is subject to gilui, yesh ba mishum yain nesach. Also subject to yain esach mevushah, but if it's cooked, ein bo mishum gulu vein bo mishum yain esach. But once it's cooked, it's not subject to either, not gilui, not yain esach. Gemara continues. Shami the Rabbi Chilkiah bar Tovia iglehu kisasa demaya. So the attendant of Rabbi Chilkiah had some water and left it exposed. V'hava naim gabei, but even though it was exposed, he was sleeping right next to the barrel of water. Also gabei the Rabbi Chilkiah bar Tovia amalei hare amru emas yashan aleihem. You're sleeping next to the water. Your fear is going to still be on the animals. Animals are not going to risk it, even though you were sleeping, because they're afraid of you. The Gemara thinks, however, that there should be a distinction made whether you were sleeping it by day or by night. And by night, the snake will not be as cautious, and the snake may go ahead and try to drink it at night. But the Gemara rejects such a distinction. The Gemara says that the Gemara doesn't about face. The Gemara says that as long as the person was awake next to the water, snakes are not going to try to get it. But if you're sleeping, so then the snakes are not going to be afraid and the snakes are going to try to drink. Rav, lo shasi mi be arma. Amr lo zihir begilui. Rav's practice was as follows. When he went to the house of a non-Jew, he would not drink a cup of water, a glass of water. Right? That's from. Well, the Gemara, it's not really, meaning it's not like extra from. It's not a chumrah. Meaning he was concerned that the non-Jews were not worried about gilui. So therefore, it would be a sakana, it would pose a sakana. However, if he went to the house of a widow, he would drink the water over there. Why? Because she obviously, as being that she used to live with her husband, and the husband all the time told her, make sure that water is not unexposed. Not exposed. So the husband kept reminding her, and even as she's a widow and she no longer lives with her husband, but in other words, habits stick, and so therefore she's going to make sure that the water is not exposed. Shmuel. Okay, well, that's an excellent question. Stay tuned. The Gemara is not going to answer it today, but that answer is coming up. Shmuel lo shasi maya mi be amrlasa amr leisle emasa de gavra. So Shmuel, on the other hand, his practice would be just the reverse. If he went to go visit a widow, so he would not drink the water over there because, in other words, while she was married, she knew always to cover the water, but once her husband's no longer there, she became lax on the issue. And as far as when Shmuel visited the guy, he would drink the water over there. They weren't worried so much as gilui, but they were very hygienic. And as such, they would only drink the water if it was clean and clear and covered. Another version of basically the same practice. Rav, same as we said before, would not drink water in the guy's house, but would drink water by a widow. Shmuel, neither. He wouldn't drink water in the house of a guy, nor in the house of a widow, as we explained earlier. Let me just go through this quickly. Three wines that are not subject to gilui, snakes are just not interested. The Gemara is going to explain each one of them. Chad is a very sharp wine. Tila harifa demasri zika. It's so sharp, it sometimes punctures, it breaks the container that it's in. It's such a sharp wine. Demasri zika. Mar yarnaka. The second wine, the bitter wine, is Yarnaka. And that may help some people in the room, I doubt it, however. And Matok is Chulia. And the sweet wine is also known as Chulia. Rav Chama Masni Li'iluya. So Rav Chama also goes over these three wines, but describes it in a more positive light. Chad Chamar Pilpulin. So the sharp wine is wine mixed together with pepper. Mar, the bitter wine, is Afsinitin. And Matok is Maybark. I'm Rav Shimon Malakish Karina Imba Mishum Gilui. My Karina, so I'm Rabbi Abau, Chamra Chalya Da'ase Me Asya. It is a sweet wine that comes from Asia. I'm a Rav of a Mekomo, Yeshbo Mishum Gilui. However, Asian wine imported over here is not subject to Gilui because our snakes, all right, our local snakes are not interested in the foreign wine. However, over there, their snakes are used to, and therefore they like it. My tamar chamer medina hu, because it's the local wine. Amarava hay chamer de ikrim atas yoma yeshba mishum gilui. The wine starts souring, but only starts souring, still subject to the concern of gilui. Mishum yainesach, and also to the concern of yainesach. Mikan ve'elach, we turn to the top of Laman Amid Beis, but from this point going forward, ein ba mishum gilui ve'ein bushum yainesach, not subject to gilui, not subject to yainesach. Benardai amri, afil labasa talsi yom echayshina, mishum gilui, maitam ezimna mikre shase. And in Harda, they are more concerned, even after 3 days post-fermenting, the still concern of gilui, their snakes tend to drink from even as the wine even continues and progresses to sour. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow, Tana Rabbanan on the top of the Amud Beis.